We still have the echo of Brother John Vaughn here a few weeks ago and the testimony that he was. You know, I still just marvel at it. By the way, that message that he preached here at our church is being downloaded like crazy. But having said that, there's a young man, he's just a year younger than I am now, Steve Labins. He is the brother of John Labins, who pastors in Placerville. He married a young lady from our youth group, Debbie Hampson, and they have three children. She has suffered incredibly with lupus, MS, and so forth. I mean, her body is literally trying to kill itself and has been for so long. And we got an update this afternoon on Facebook from her. I cannot believe everything that she's gone through, and yet the sweet spirit that she has. Her husband Steve has been a marvel to me. He, again, he's younger than I am. He was in a grade behind me. Excuse me. But I have never. I've known few men of God like him. I have never known Steve to be down or you know, just backslidden, anything. And with everything he's gone through, we've had some personal discussions about it, and God has been, you know, just so good. I praise God for that. And I'm getting ready in my Old Testament devotions to finish reading. I'll probably finish it on Tuesday, the book of Job. And, you know, you go through that and it'll make the hair stand in your head a little bit, like, you know, could I wind up going through something like this? You know something? I don't know why God does allow things that he does, but I do know this. I look at Steve and Debbie Labins and I see a testimony that is absolutely priceless. I look at John Vaughn and his wife and his family and what all they've gone through, and there is a testimony that is priceless. Who needs to hear that message, that testimony? I don't know, but I know God will bless it. And so, you know, we've got to remember this. We're looking at how to prepare for battle with the wicked one. But you know what? He's not greater than our God. And so let's rejoice in that. Let's just remember that we are on the victory side, whatever he puts us through. We don't need to have thoughts of doom and gloom. Whatever comes, God supplies the need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would once again just take your word and help us to understand this. Lord, self dies hard, but it must die. And what glory can come to our risen Savior in a lost and dying world that needs you so desperately? I pray that you would help us to take this by your Spirit, to assimilate it into our very character. We will give you praise forever. But until then, help us to occupy till you come. Help us to be looking unto Jesus. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, and now armed and ready, we've been looking at the spiritual warfare. We brought this out. We've got a powerful enemy. We are always at war with that enemy. Always at war, as we will see tonight. And we must be aware of our resources. So I want you to go to Ephesians 6. And as we saw last week, first of all, consider our source. He says, finally, my brethren, remember this. I mean, you read the book of Ephesians. You go through Ephesians 3. You look at some of the passages. And Ephesians is wonderful, is absolutely astounding. The blessing that is there, especially as you go into chapter 3 and you reach the crescendo to the end of that chapter. But now here in chapter 6, we're coming towards the end, and he says, finally, my brethren, we have read some great stuff. It's been great. You're on cloud 9. And he says, hang tight here. I've got something important I want to tell you. You know, I've never been in battle. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen horrible things when it comes to that. Battle is not a pretty thing. It just isn't. When we think of the spiritual warfare, it might not be blood on the ground, but it might be a shattered life, a shattered family, a shattered church that is no less of a disaster situation. Because somewhere, somehow, Satan got in. The flesh allowed him. He doesn't have to get in. He does not have to get in, but he does, as we'll see. So finally, my brethren, and we remember this, our source, that source is a person. Be strong in the Lord. The idea is to clothe oneself with strength as one puts on a garment. The verb form there means a continuous action. When you get up in the morning, you get dressed, right? You get up in the morning, you put on Christ. You get up on Tuesday, you put on Christ. You get up on Wednesday, you put on Christ. Why? Because you want me to look good? No, I don't want you to die spiritually. I don't want you to be a statistic. I don't want to see something happen. So again, we've got some serious stuff that we're going to be looking into. That source is a person. That source brings a provision. And in the power of his might. The Greek word that translates power there refers to dominion. Listen to this. It speaks of the power to complete and perfect. You know what? When God does something, he does it all. He never leaves us short. He doesn't. The word might has the idea of force and strength. It speaks of someone who possesses absolute ability. So he's saying this, look, be strong in the Lord and in the power, the dominion of he who lacks nothing to fight the devil. Nothing, zip, zero, nada. How do we get this power? We get it the same way we had our sins forgiven. We go and we ask for it. We ask for it. We come and we say, Lord, I need you. I absolutely, positively need you. I can't rest tomorrow morning. I love Mondays. Mondays is my Friday. But I can't, you know, there are some things I can't let go here. I mean, as far as letting back, read my Bible. No, that's no big deal. I've done that before. Folks, I don't know. I've done some really stupid things spiritually. You ever done something stupid spiritually? Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, crescendo. Yeah. Well, guess what? That's kind of why, you know, I'm wanting to preach from down here because it's, when I was studying this, it's kind of like, you know, we're all in this together kind of thing. And I want us to recognize that. Consider our source. Now I want you to see this. Write this down. Consider our strategy. Consider our strategy. All right, we know the source. Praise God. The one that died for us helps us live. Look at this. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Before we can look at anything else, can we hear this? With God's provision and help, we can stand. We can do this. We can have the victory. Let that sink in. This is not a 50-50 proposition. We have it 100%, but now wait a minute. We've got to be in it to win it. We've got to be in it 100%. This phrase, the wiles of the devil, this is our opponent. Our opponent. Consider our strategy, all right? This is our opponent. The wiles of the devil. That tells us two things. Who our enemy is. Who our enemy is. What his strategy is. Your enemy is not a fellow church member. Your enemy, listen, your enemy is not your government. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your kids, you know, or your parents or whatever. Your enemy is the devil. Satan, the satanic one, he is our enemy. Listen to this. He is ancient. He is powerful. He is deceptive. He is experienced. He has been attacking, deceiving, and defeating the people of God since he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. He has had over 6,000 years of experience. And we think we're going to come along in 2015 and go, no problem. That ain't true. That ain't there. He has a plan. He has a personal scheme for you. Because you know something? People just like you and just like me have been alive for the last 6,000 years. Our weaknesses, our loves, our lusts, he's a piece of cake. Been working at it, no problem. We go back to Israel. We see the foundations of civilizations that are long gone. You know why they're gone? Sin. Crumble, stumble, crash. And here we are, United States. Nah, never happened here. There's a Greek term for that. Wrong-o. That is absolutely not true. And it's sad to see these things coming along. The thing that we need to understand, we need to remember, is you know something? We can pray for revival. And whatever God has prepared, I don't know what it is. I'm leaving it to Him. I'm tired of going through gyrations and nodding my gut up and going, Lord, please, you're God. Hey, you know something? Lord, your will be done. But this is what I'm praying for. This is absolutely what I'm praying for. The wiles, look at that. It says the wiles of the devil. This is interesting. This word means cunning, arts, deceit, craft, trickery. It comes from the verbal form, methodeo, I believe is how you pronounce that. To follow up or investigate by method and settled plan. To follow craftily. Frame devices. To deceive. It's where we get our English word, method. So you see, you understand, the wiles of the devil. You know, you think today of people who pull off crimes that are just unreal. I mean, they just do the job. And you think, how in the world did they do that? You look at somebody who is into, I don't like magic. Somebody who's into illusion. And they can make you think, wow, how in the world you do that? Well, Satan is a master at it. He makes everybody else look like just an absolute immature amateur. He just does. This is what this is talking about. That word in classic Greek was used for this. That word wiles. A wild animal that silently, cunningly stalks its prey and then unexpectedly pounces on it, devouring it. I don't like to really get big time into Facebook, but sometimes there's just some stuff. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? Somebody posted a video. Here's a crab walking along in some rocks. And, the crab is doing fine, and they say, just watch this. It's about, and you're going, where? What's going on? There's a little bit of water here and there, and it's on the ocean and stuff, but this crab, pretty good-sized crab, this crab's going along, and all of a sudden, an octopus out of the water, boom, takes that thing and just starts jerking it and going, and you know where they went? They went out to dinner together, down into the water. Only one came back. But I'm sure, but all of a sudden that octopus was just there. You stop and think of an animal that stalks its prey. That's what is being talked about here. Satan stalks. Now that's, you think about that and that'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. By the way, he's just not stalking you. He's stalking people in your family. I get to thinking about my grandkids. And I tell you what, you start praying real hard. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see every one of those kids in heaven. And yet Satan He's got his eye on him. He's got his eye on him. Hey, if that doesn't get you to praying, God help us all. Amen. So let's just think about that. So he says, listen. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against. That phrase there is a soldier's expression used for standing your ground. The devil is indeed wicked, and he's wily. He's cunning. But you know something? You can stand your ground. You can stand your ground through prayer. You can stand your ground through diligence. You can stand your ground with sharing the wisdom of God. I want to insert something here right now. There's a paper. I'm going to share a little bit with you on something because this really bothers me. Not that it doesn't bother me, but it's something that I've found that I've used so much. There are two sets of papers I have handed out like crazy for years. They helped me out, but I have found that there have been so many people that have needed this. Would you write this down someplace? Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Are thoughts. Now get this. Satan doesn't come along. All of a sudden, he's not going to come through the door and he's got the bazooka and the gun belts, you know, and all that. That's not how Satan works. He works through your thinking. That's how he did it in the garden. Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. I'm putting this in when it comes to the wiles of the devil. We need this. Look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now watch this. A stronghold, people have said, is anything that places itself against what God has said is true. It winds up coming to you and getting you to believe something that is contrary to the will of God. Look at verse 5. Now this is a verse I pray you've got to understand, you've got to grasp. Casting down imaginations. Now I want you to stop and think about this. Every one of us is thinking something right now. Every one of us. There can be people in here with the little bit of thought, you've already turned off what is being said. There are some people here, you might have already believed a lie when it comes to battling Satan. For instance, oh, it's no big deal. And he says this, you take every fleshly thought and you cast it down. Casting down imaginations. Look again. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, understand this. If you're going to know what exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you've got to know God. You don't have to know what's going on in the world. You have to know the God of this world that created the world. And you also have to know the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and how to battle him. Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Does God love you? Then you battle everything with the scripture that gets you to think contrary to that. Does God give you more than you can handle? Are you sure? If that's the case, you get every scripture because there might come a time when that's exactly what you feel. Exactly. You know, I praise God when Brother Jim Benny was here and he was preaching to the men. He talked about us, the Lord Jesus Christ coming, knowing the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, because he took on himself human flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly how we feel when we go through certain things. He knows it exactly. But in order to battle what we're going through, we go to him and we seek his help. But listen, We have got to understand this. If there is something contrary to the character of God, the Word of God, the will of God, we've got to cast it down. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind can wander real fast. It can go real fast. I'm talking about in a nanosecond sometimes, if things are going wrong, you can get discouraged. You ever been discouraged? Yeah. Big time. Big time. You know what? You're letting Satan do that. I mean, again, he's busy. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. This is not a game. Guys, be careful where your minds go. But ladies, ditto. Same thing. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch this. And bringing into captivity. Now this takes spiritual effort, but it can be done. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here I am. I am a Christian. I'm born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. And what I need to do is I need to bring into captivity the thoughts that want to come into my mind. I want to take them, cast down that which is attacking my knowledge of the Word of God and the character of God, just like Satan did in the garden, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Was Christ obedient? In other words, what this is saying is think like Jesus. That's exactly what it is. And having in a readiness, verse 6, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Listen, if the devil can get you to entertain his thoughts, if the devil can get you to entertain his thoughts, he's got a doorway into your mind. He's got a key. He's got a key. Now, when things are going good and there's money in the bank and, you know, everything's all right and we're living in 1950s America and, you know, all those pleasant little television shows on there, everything's good. You know, that's one thing. But when you're living in 2015 and we're about to lose our freedoms, our religious freedoms, because of a very vocal minority, and we've got people that are people in the asylum that are running the show, they're not thinking. I'm amazed at what's going on there, and I'm just waiting. I'm not bracing for it. I'm not going, but you know, I'm just thinking, you know, there's another 9/11 coming, and it could make the first 9/11 look like a picnic. You know, just, you know, with all that, hey, you know what? Praise God. I'm going to just stick with how Christ taught me to think. The Word of God tells us how to be victorious. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Again, the wiles of the devil, the schemes, we've got to see this. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Now get this. Before you go to verse 7, you've got to get to verse 6, right? What's verse 6 tell us? Excuse me. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I got nothing. I've come to realize that more and more. I got nothing. That's not just being funny or, you know, whimsical or whatever. I've recognized the fact that when it comes to living the Christian life that is so vital in this day, and I'm seeing the opportunity that we have, I have nothing that Jesus needs. I need everything that He is. That's called humility. And I pray that we don't wind up into a false humility. I mean, when you just recognize that the stakes are so high. We're talking about eternal souls. What in the world is it going to take to break into our thick skulls sometimes? I don't know about you, but this has been awfully thick sometimes. I just readily admit it. Okay? Hey, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He doesn't, He doesn't play favorites. He acts according to his word, and this is his word. So we come to verse 7 now. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay, if you're going to humble yourself, you can't be proud. Just let it go, man. Let it go. Ego, the whole smack. But giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now that we've come to this point, it's this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, sometimes we stop right there. That's not the thing to do. Look what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, you know what? If I'm going to resist the devil and I'm going to draw nigh to God, I need to go ahead and take the next step. Search me, O God, know my heart. Lord, is there any sin in my life? And I mean really, truly search. When you think of what sin can do, as I'm reminded every time I give the gospel, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That applies to the Christian as well. That stench of death, that which can eat away at the Christian character. Hey, don't want it. Absolutely do not want it. So what do? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Hey, he was writing to Christians. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Going to have more to say about that in a minute. Look, to simply try and resist the devil without doing the rest of what the word says is to be taking it out of context. Just resist the devil. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. No, you've got to do it all. Double-mindedness is another way of saying we're wishy-washy when it comes to what we believe. That's another way of saying it. Or that you're not settled in your spirit if the Word of God is true. Now, this is something that we wind up dealing with. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. My hand is up. You've got to get into the Word. And you come to this point. By the way, you know one of the things that I love, you know, is you just read the Word and you say, you know what? It doesn't matter how I feel. I've come to this realization. If God says that he's going to do it, whether or not I agree with him or not, whether or not I feel like he's going to do it, he's just going to do it. So you know what? I might as well just quit arguing with myself. Let's just rest in his character. Don't be wishy-washy. And by the way, be careful when it comes to dealing with somebody else who has been struggling in their Christian walk. Because again, just like that, we can be going, well, at least I'm not doing as bad as they are. Oh, really? You just joined them. You just joined them. Don't do it. Double-mindedness. We've got to be careful for it. There is a cure. Find out what God's Word has to say. Hear it, meditate on it, and let it take root in your spirit. And what will happen? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. What? By hearing preaching? Preaching is great. Love to hear preaching. Driving down to the Bay Area tomorrow. Put on preaching. I love it. No. Faith cometh by hearing, but guess what? Hearing by the Word of God. I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again because I can. It was so great. Edgar, this guy that drove for Kaiser Sand and Gravel, he's the guy that I told you about that went for Mr. Middleweight California. I mean, the dude was strong. He was also sinful. He was wicked, and then he got saved. And it was incredible to see this guy change. I mean, he's listening to Christian radio all the time. He couldn't get enough of Christian radio while he's out there in his concrete truck. And it was just so cool. And the last time I saw him, Mom, was when I picked you up when we were moving to Santa Maria. Remember that guy that walked up to us there at Oakland Airport? Man, it was just so great the last time I saw him there. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, amen. I'll tell you what. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So get into God's Word. Get into God's Word. Well, it doesn't say a whole lot to me. That's because you're wishy-washy. You're wondering if it's really all that worth it. Double-mindedness is quoting the Word of God with your mouth and not really expecting it to come to pass. Well, we'll just give it up in prayer. No, what you just said in your heart is you're giving up. Let's trust God. Again, when we give the gospel, one of the last places we'll go is Romans 10, right? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But let's hear the next verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you really don't believe God's word concerning a thing, and just think, you have a good confession, no big deal, you're amiss. It ain't gonna work. You've got to believe it from the heart. So here's the deal. You name it. Lust, anxiety, anger, fear, doubt, anything. Those things are in your mind. Guess who's there battling? Oh, but I'm just not that important. Yes, you are. Because everybody affects somebody. In fact, everybody affects more than one somebody. And for that reason, hey, Satan will have some minion on you. He will. He'll do it. And if he can get you through your double-mindedness or a weak faith, a doubt, he'll fly with it. Those come from Satan. In order for us to gain the victory that we already have, purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. This is how we battle the wiles of the devil. Look, I love Psalm 1. I get through with the book of Proverbs, whoosh, man, bam, right back down to Psalm 1. And I love Psalm 1. You all know it. Blessed is the man. And this is basic. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? And in his law, what does he do? Meditates day and night. Can I ask you, please, just stop and think. When's the last time we can think our minds were on his word day and night? But yeah, we're busy. When was the last time? Yeah, but there was this television show. When was the last time we can honestly say, yeah, but you know something, I was being interrupted and all that. When was the last time? Who was the Tim, help me out. I think maybe you can, you know this. Oh. Wesley, Mrs. Wesley, you know what she would do? She would sit down for prayer, 1 hour of uninterrupted prayer, and she told her kids this, I'm going to take my apron and I'm going to put it over my head. You don't bother mommy during this time. And she literally sat in her kitchen with her apron over her head, and there was her prayer closet. Now, you know, it's funny to us, but you know something? It worked. It worked. You do this. We do this. See, all of us. Day and night, in the Word. Then you know what? We're going to be like verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. This is the kind of faith we are going to have absolutely, positively. We cannot live out the Christian life under our own power, our own strength, our own intellect. A Christian cannot lead a victorious life except by the anointing of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Period. What we have to do is this. According to John 6:63, we have to go to the Word of God first and then lean on the Spirit of God for our strength. John 6:63 says this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Okay, the Spirit makes it come to life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's Spirit takes that. There we are. So now we come to this, our armor. Put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to finish here. I'm going to go just a little bit in the end of this, but there's too much here to go into big time. Put on the whole armor of God. When he says put on, it means to envelop, to hide in, to clothe with. The whole armor literally means all the weapons, full armor, complete armor. In other words, you don't leave anything behind. There is not a weapon that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us and we go, I don't need that. No, we need it all. We need it all. Listen to what expositors said about this. Expositors, quote, we need not only a divine equipment, but that equipment in its completeness, without the lack of any single part. The fact that in order to meet our spiritual foe, we need to take to ourselves all that God provides for living and for overcoming is expressed in a telling figure drawn from the world of soldiery. The figure of the Christian as a warrior, with his arms, his wages, everything, occurs repeatedly in the Pauline epistles. No doubt the Roman soldier is particularly in view. Paul, the Roman citizen, would think of him, and it was the Roman military power that filled the eye when Paul labored and wrote. I remember when we were there in Caesarea, and Paul had been there, remembering that Paul had been there in prison. And I got to thinking, you know, it's amazing how the Lord did this. That in this time, he gave several pictures for Paul, not only to see and observe, but to draw from, to teach the believer. Indeed, he saw politicians there, but he also saw athletes. And so he taught God's people, you need to run the race. He saw soldiers, and he was able to bring this up here. So the word armor refers to the equipment that God has provided for us to wear in the daily battle because it goes on every day. There's the truth, to wear as a belt, righteousness to protect the heart, shoes to protect the feet, shield to deflect arrows of the enemy, helmet to protect the head, the sword to use to engage the enemy. All of this has been provided to every believer, every one of us. It's there. So, can I encourage us to stop and think about this? We'll get back to it next Sunday night. But let's remember this. Tomorrow morning, put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, put on the whole armor. Don't cheat yourself. I don't want to cheat myself. I've been stupid enough in my life. Don't want to do that. Put on the whole armor. Let's be real with it. Look, there are churches that are collapsing under the weight of cultural demands all the time. They are collapsing in their convictions. Lord knows we have a tough enough time ourselves. But there are churches, there are movements that are just giving way. I have never seen the wiles of the devil like I've seen them today. I just haven't. There's certain things you can read about in history. I know that. But my soul, what is going on right now. This is not for our glory. It's for His. I want to say this, please, again. I believe that we are writing the last chapters of the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit. The canon is complete. Please don't misunderstand me. But the church has been going on. And for whatever reason, we are in a wonderful land that still has great opportunity. But wickedness is running amok. You stop and think, did you read about this grandmother? That she said no to the homosexuals. I mean, right there in their area, she's loved it. She's done stuff for them. But when it comes to something absolutely, blessing a union that was not created by God, she says, no, I'm not going to do it. And that attorney general, what is it, the state of Oregon or Washington? It's either Oregon or Washington. They have come down on her. They are not only telling her, we'll take your business. They are threatening her with her home, with her money. We'll take it away. And so they came to her and said, if you will just recant, if you'll just say, you know what, I was wrong, just pay us a $2,000 fine and everything is forgotten. And this grandmother said, not on your life. I'm not going to do it. Now, she has left herself open. This is going to be interesting to see what the state does. They could take everything from her. And you know what? There are people out there that'd be happy to do it. This is America, folks. This is America. As far as so many in the government are concerned now, there's only one choice. And that is their choice that they're making. Your choice doesn't count anymore. Just this last week, the Secretary of the Air Force, this feels good, the Secretary of the Air Force said, if you are not given to promoting diversity, then you will not be promoted. There goes some people's livelihood. You know, if you're not for what they're for, then you're finished. There's going to be no more stripes, no more bars, nothing. Be it, whatever it is that you do in the military, if you're not for diversity. Welcome to the USSA. Put on the whole armor of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd protect us. Lord, we've been looking so much at the devil, Lord, and I don't want us to be just looking at him. We want to be looking at you, what you do. Lord, we don't need to be terrified. We don't need to be timid. We just need to be faithful. Lord, we rejoice in your mercy and your grace. We rejoice that you have been such a help to us. Lord, you have placed us in this time and in this place. We have personal challenges. We have national challenges now. But Lord, just like you did in the book of Acts, you are walking with your people today. Whatever you place us in this week, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful, rejoicing in you. Lord, help us to learn to put on the armor, all of it. Again, protect us, I ask. Give us wisdom. We will give you the glory. Oh my, how the Christian life is becoming more and more real to us all. But we thank you for that. So go with us now, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.